Those radio waves go to every single house and every single hut and every single river and every single person. Whoever has one, they could be listening to that wherever they are. The effect of the Word of God in the heart of a person who believes is just immeasurably, it's just so powerful.
Hello, friend. Welcome to GALCOM's Mission Compass, your guide to the Great Commission. I'm Ron Harris. And before our host, Tim Whitehead, tells us about someone who is living out the Great Commission, I believe you have a special request for us to pray about.
Thank you, Ron. Yes, I do. As we speak, there is a team in Capoeira, South Sudan, putting up a radio station, putting up the tower, which is quite dangerous work, and doing all the other installation work. This is in the middle of nowhere. We couldn't go, or we couldn't send our team here from Canada to go because of travel restrictions to South Sudan, because it is a dangerous nation. So please be praying for Francis and his team from Kenya as they install the radio station in South Sudan. It's going to reach tens of thousands of people with the good news of Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Tim. You can be updated on GALCOM's daily prayer needs. Just visit our website, galcom.org. And now, Tim, what do you have for us?
Well, friend, last week we had a special visit from our missions team lead, Al Wyatt, to talk about an unreached people group. This week, back to our regularly scheduled programming, our communications team lead, Faye Watford, has done her research on joshuaproject.net and has an unreached people group to profile for us. Faye, always great to have you here in studio.
Thanks, Tim. Good to be here always.
And who are we going to learn about today?
So, Tim, I know that we have ministry partners that we connect with who do dangerous work. And so it was one of those people groups that I wanted to talk about today, the Lima people in West Africa. They live in several countries in West Africa, and they have this history of caravan trade, and they're concentrated in little towns that are dotted along the ancient caravan routes. Now, Lima, I should say, is not the real name of this Muslim group.
Right, so people aren't going to be able to find them when they do their own research.
They won't. So if they try looking them up, you're not going to find them. We've given them a code name because of the danger posed to workers if it's known that they're evangelizing amongst these people. So in West Africa, once Muslims and Christians used to live rather peacefully, but now religious tensions and terrorism attacks have increased in this area. For example, 9 people were killed in a violent attack in northern Ghana near the border of Burkina Faso last fall. And it was because of their Christian faith that they were attacked. There has also been an uptick in Islamic extremism in the region, and many are now claiming that Burkina Faso is one of the most dangerous places in the world to be a Christian.
Now, friends, if you are long-term partners, prayer partners of GALCOM, you may see, I've heard of this Lima group before. Well, we have one of our founders that passed away, Ken Crow. We have a legacy project in his honor, trying to reach out to this people group. So you may have seen in our prayer calendars, newsletters in the past, the efforts to reach these people. And yes, it is dangerous. It is difficult. And so hence the code name and the secrecy here. Let's learn a little bit more, Faye. You talked about them being traders living along this trade route. Let's try to get an idea of the regular, ordinary Lima person, as opposed to, as you said, this kind of Islamic attack and so on. Like, there's got to be ordinary people living ordinary lives here.
Absolutely. Like, the vast majority of these people are in no way terrorists. They were traditionally traders, but now in Lima, they're primarily farmers, and they grow sorghum and yams as their staples. And then all sorts of other things, millet, maize, beans, okra, ground nuts, pumpkins, all those things that you hear about them farming in Africa. They keep a variety of animals, including cattle, donkeys, goats, sheep, pigs, and chickens. The cattle are used for religious sacrifices, marriage payments, and hides, and their manure is used as fertilizer. And here's an interesting fact. Although the Lima drink milk, they do not milk their own animals, and rather the milking is performed by the neighboring Fulani herdsmen, who are hired to help tend their herds. The men's responsibilities involve the livestock, clearing the land, all of the agricultural labor, and the women's responsibilities include gathering nuts, berries, wild grasses, and building materials from the forest, helping their husbands with the harvest and all of the household chores.
So a real agricultural society, living off the land, living good, wholesome lives. It sounds like there's a lot of community here. What is the kind of the village life, the community life look like?
Yeah, so they're still quite rural, and they live in houses that have round walls, dirt floors, and cone-shaped thatched straw roofs. I know we've seen a lot of those images here at Galcom. That's a common thing that we get to see here. The homes, they're clustered together in family compounds. They have this central courtyard, and then they have a high enclosure, a big mud wall around them that protects them, and outsiders can't see inside. Each local community has a ritual headman, normally the oldest man of the family, and his responsibility is to maintain good relations and social order among his people.
So it sounds like a very paternalistic society then.
Yeah, much as you would expect being Muslim, the marriages are usually arranged by the parents while the boy and girl are still infants. Wow. And before a marriage is complete, a bride service must be performed by the prospective groom. So this means that the young man has to work on the farm of the girl's parents for a certain period of time. Makes me think of Jacob. A substantial bride price is also given to the family of the bride. And then these gifts, when they're accepted from the groom to the bride's parents, that makes the union legitimate. So polygyny, which is multiple wives, it's permitted among the Lima, but not more than four wives, according to Muslim law. And the first wife enjoys a superior status over the other wives. Very important, each wife has her own separate hut. The Lima, I was reading some cultural stuff about them. They have this old custom of praise singing, and this is where they recite their family lineage and praise their chiefs for their heroic deeds, and they do it musically. I'd love to hear that.
Very cool. So very rich culture, meaningful culture. Now, religiously, are they actual Muslims or just kind of in name only with a lot of kind of the animistic beliefs that a lot of the African tribes have?
There is some syncretism there. They do blend some of their traditional beliefs, but they are overwhelmingly Muslim. About 99.5% would be staunchly Muslim. They were first exposed to Islam in about the 1700s. And then by the mid-1800s, the Lima territory had just been swept and overrun by the Muslim influence. There were all sorts of religious wars in the area, and then it ended with their conversion to Islam. So today, the Lima are faithful Muslims. They affirm that Allah is the only God, Muhammad is his prophet. They pray five times a day, give alms generously, fast during the month of Ramadan, and make at least one pilgrimage to Mecca if possible.
So, staunch Muslim, they do not accept others from the outside, as we've learned in our outreach. We'll be talking about this next week in our interview, so you want to make sure you tune in next week. But how do we reach into this very closed group?
Yeah, so the Lima, they have many physical and educational needs. So Christian medical teams, humanitarian aid workers, and teachers probably are the ones with the greatest opportunity to share the love of Jesus in very practical ways. They have lots of resources in their language. They have the New Testament, various audio recordings. They have the Jesus film. But above all, what we need are teams of intercessors that will faithfully stand in the gap for this precious people and tear down the barriers that keep them separated from the truth. And only then will they be able to receive the gospel. So, Tim, maybe you could intercede for them right now.
Let's start that intercession now. Father, we just pray for this Lima people group with such a rich culture and an organized society and care and attention to detail in their farming and their livestock and their families. And they're missing the key element of Jesus Christ. And so we just pray that somehow we and our partners working there in West Africa be able to get the truth of Jesus Christ to them in a way that they can understand and would break down these barriers they put up of Islamic belief and just rejecting other things out of hand. Lord, we pray for a miracle of your Holy Spirit working in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
For more on these people and many others, check out joshuaproject.net. There you can sign up to receive an email every day on an unreached people group. Joshua Project also has an app you can download to your phone.
Thanks again, Faye.
Thank you.
It's easy to be a peacekeeper, but peacemaking isn't for the faint of heart. I'm Bonnie Sela with Reset. Here's how to keep the peace. Just be quiet during an argument. Don't disagree. Let people walk all over you and comply with requests with a weak smile. Being a peacemaker, on the other hand, is something very different from simply keeping the peace. Keeping the peace means you don't trouble the waters and never get involved in problems. Peacemaking means often throwing yourself into the fray. Peacemaking the Jesus way doesn't always mean avoiding trouble. Sometimes peacemakers head straight into the thick of it, but they come armed with a calm that comes from knowing Jesus' power. They come with a care rooted in experiencing Jesus' love for themselves and others. Peacemakers come ready to show mercy, modeling Jesus' example of forgiveness. Peacemaking might mean speaking up about injustice when it would be easier to be quiet. Bringing God's peace to the world means seeing the poor and doing something to alleviate hungry stomachs, weary hearts, and aching bodies. It also might mean being quiet when you'd like to complain or argue. But if you want to be a peacemaker, roll up your sleeves before you begin the messy work of healing. Much like what a doctor experiences in surgery, there's bound to be gore and mess in the process of repairing the damage. Peacemaking isn't for the faint of heart. But Scripture promises God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called children of God. What situation can you bring the peace of God to today? Will you ask God to help you do it? I'm Bonnie Sala with Reset. To read, share, or hear this again, or to find more resources like this, visit guidelines.org.
Well, friends, we're really glad you joined us here on the Mission Compass today. We're always looking for ways to encourage you to get involved in the Great Commission, whether it's right close to your home or around the world. But I really do have a real special part in my heart for people that have gone and answered the call for cross-cultural ministry, leaving their home, whether it's Canada or the U.S., and going somewhere else, having to learn the language, learn the culture, learn, you know, how to behave. Do I finish off the plate? Do I leave food left? All those types of things that are really important. And so a few years ago, we were introduced to Tim Walker, an Ethnos missionary in Venezuela, reaching out to the Piaroa people, and really exciting work. And we got him a few thousand radios. And I just was in touch with him about a week or so ago about getting him some of our new model radios, bigger, better solar panels, sound and so on, our new Compass radios. And he sent me back an email, and it's the best email I've received in a long, long time. I just want to read one line of this. This is from Tim Walker. I had no idea how powerful and life-transforming it was, as I get very little feedback from the jungle. But being face-to-face with over 1,000 Piaroa last month and hearing their testimonies, it blew me away as to how effective the radio ministry is, and it has totally motivated me to crank out tons more programs and music. I came back thinking we need a whack load of radios, like 10,000 more. Tim Walker, tell us more. Tell us more. How, what are things going on there with the PRO? It's great to have you on the program.
Thank you so much, Tim. It's great to be with you, and thank you for your love and your encouragement. Wow, what can I tell you other than, like I said, I had no idea what was happening way out there in the jungle. All I know is we got several thousand, I think it was 2,800 radios, and we shipped them down there. And we dispersed them last year. And then last month, I went down right to the border of Venezuela, where 1,200 Piaroa had come from all over Venezuela to have a Bible conference and to see me face to face. And that's when I, you know, over and over, I was blown away with these testimonies of people that had said they had been listening to my Bible teaching on the radio. And One woman came up to me. She was an older woman, and she said, I've never seen you before, but I've heard your voice. I hear you on the radio. Every morning when you start the radio program, you say, how are you doing? And I look to the radio, and I answer the radio, I'm doing well. And it just really comforted me and gave me that connection, like, wow, these people listen to these programs. So, and another story was, while I was there, a young Piaroa man who is very gifted musically, he shared one of his songs that he wrote in Piaroa. And he came up to me one evening next to where my hammock was hanging. And he said, I write my songs as I listen to the Bible teaching on the radio. And I got to thinking, wow.
Wow.
What I would love to do, and I'm actually working on that now, is I'm going to translate his song back into English and dub the words over so that the listener can actually hear what he is saying. But the theology and his love of the gospel was so profound, and it just brought me to tears to see the impact that these programs are having.
That's got to kind of hit you with a kind of a serious moment there. If they're writing the worship songs, these got to be some of the first worship songs of the Piaroa church. they're writing them from your teachings. You feel a little bit of responsibility there?
Huge responsibility, because they're hanging on every word. But, you know, this is the joy, because I've spent 27 years translating the Bible into their language, the New Testament. And I never wanted to translate the New Testament. I wanted to teach it. So now I get to start teaching it verse by verse. And so I'm just teaching what the Bible says, and they're taking that to heart. And, you know, and this guy is writing music. It's absolutely beautiful. I'm going to share it with you sometime, Tim.
Oh, please. There's nothing warms my heart more than when I've traveled around the world and, you know, you go to a church service and they'll sing kind of a translated old English hymn. You know, maybe it's Amazing Grace. Yeah, it's nice. But when they start to sing in their cultural, that vernacular style and their musical style, there's something that sends shivers down my spine, because it's God meeting them in their language, in their culture, you know, in their music, right to their heart.
Totally. So one of the other things that really encouraged me on this recent trip to the border of Venezuela was, because of the potential of radio that we have now, I wanted to get more PRO people involved in recording and producing their own teaching and their own music. And so we raised money and we bought equipment. It's state-of-the-art radio recording equipment. And with Russell Stendahl's audio engineer, Fernando, he organized all the exact equipment, and we took it down to the border on this trip. And so the second half of the conference was a recording workshop. And these PRO people, there were eight of them that were technically apt, they learned how to record both audio podcasts and music. And so now they took all that equipment across the river into Venezuela, and they're building their own recording studio, and they are going to now join me on the airwaves.
Oh, this is fantastic. So when I got that email from you and you said just the impact, I'm like, I got to hear more. This is better than what I imagined. As you said, you'd spent 27 years translating the Bible into their language. So this is first generation church. How many people then, leaders, pastors, are trained then that are doing this teaching? Because, I mean, that's got to be a little bit, well, again, talking about responsibility. This is a big responsibility for them. Or they got to faithfully present the gospel in their language. You know, how are you supporting them? How is this working?
This is huge, Tim. Do you know what? There were 500 pastors, teachers, and spiritual leaders that came to this conference out of the 1,200 PROs that were there. I don't know how many. I mean, we're estimating the nation to be possibly 100,000 people, a population. It's really hard to estimate. So I don't know how many leaders there are. I don't know how many pastors there are. But yeah, it's a huge responsibility. But it's so exciting, because there's so much hunger among them. They really want to know God with all their heart. And it's just a gold mine, golden opportunity. And so here, having been persecuted as believers, working among them and having been kicked out of the country or evicted from the country, this opportunity now gets right into their homes. And the more we can get radios into their hands, the more families and pastors and teachers and just people are going to be hearing these programs, because I'm targeting everyone. I'm targeting the church. I'm targeting leaders. I'm targeting unchurched people. I'm targeting the unsaved in all of my radio programs. And it's had a huge effect. This young musician, he told me, he said, well, I had always heard of God and I thought I had believed in him, but listening to the programs, I really started to understand the gospel, and it changed my life.
Wow. You mentioned several times about meeting at the border. And I remember in our first conversation, you were kind of persona non grata in Venezuela. You were kicked out. So you still can't go in the country then?
No. Well, we had a permit, a special permit to actually work in indigenous territory. We cannot do that anymore.
Right.
And then because of the drastic decline of the country politically and economically, it became too dangerous to work or to even be in those areas as a North American. And so that's kind of the phase that we're in now. Legally, I just actually heard recently that they're starting to grant visas, tourist visas for entry into Venezuela again to Canadians or Americans.
Okay.
So this is brand new. So I might be able to legally get into the country, but whether I could safely navigate that area, because the guerrillas have totally infiltrated the Piraroa Nation and that entire area, it remains questionable as to whether it would be wise for me to cross the border into that area.
And this is the power of radio. So you're doing recordings outside of the country, delivering them to a radio station in Colombia, and just a little bit of tech talk here. Russell Stendel's running a couple of high-powered, super high-powered shortwave radio stations that blanket the entire nation of Venezuela. So anybody in that country can pick up this signal. And then, of course, our little part at Galcom getting the solar-powered radios that are locked onto that shortwave signal with the audio scriptures on it, handed out. And so this is the difficulty, of course, getting them into there and getting them distributed to the PRO community. But this must be such a, I don't know, relief is the right word. I can't find the right word. But since you've been kicked out, to see the impact that your work isn't done, God is still using you.
No, it's incredible. And many times I said, this is better. Because if I was physically present, I mean, people have to physically travel and get together. But with radio waves, no, I had no idea, Tim, how powerful, because those radio waves go to every single house and every single hut and every single river and every single person, whoever has one, they can be listening to that wherever they are. And the effect of the word of God in the heart of a person who believes is just immeasurably, it's just so powerful.
And you're equipping pastors, as you said, you're speaking to non-believers, but you're also speaking to pastors. So tell us a little bit the programming that you're discipling these church leaders, these pastors with.
So the majority of my programs, well, all of my programs are Bible teaching. So now that the New Testament is translated, I'm teaching verse by verse through it. And just as the New Testament speaks to every group, it speaks to believer, it speaks to unbeliever, it speaks to mature, it speaks to the new believers. So, you know, as the context lends, that's how I teach. And so often there's an appeal to unbelievers, and it's an appeal to whoever you are. You know, Jesus Christ died for you, and God loves you with all his heart. And whether it's to the mature believer, I get very in-depth with exegetical, it's just so profound what the scripture says when you take it off of the page and you put it out there for what it says. It's life-changing to the mature believer as well.
As I read that email, that little line from the email you sent me, you need a whack load of radios, .. 10,000 radios. How do we make that happen?
We just need money.
That was easy.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't know how, Tim. I came back from that remote jungle area in an old vehicle. In my mind, I was just shaking my head back and forth, and Lord, we need a whack load of radios. We need to get radios out there to these people. I don't know how, but yeah, we could easily use 10,000 radios.
And so friends, here's the challenge. So we at Galcom, we're committed to supporting half the cost of the radios. And our partners that are listening, that are praying for us, they're giving regularly. And I'm looking, going, yeah, we could budget this over the next months or a couple of years maybe. But let's support Tim, because not only does Ethnos have to come up with half the cost of the radios, but they got to get them into country and then distribute them. How do people support? And then, of course, you're still doing all this recording work and all, everything else, follow-up, ministry, production of content. How do people support you, Tim? What's the best way to get in touch with you and to give and to be praying for you?
Well, they can send me an email. That would probably be the simplest, to my email address, which is walker_tim@outlook.com. And there are a few ways, simple ways, whether you're in the U.S. or whether you're in Canada, as to how you can get involved in supporting our ministry.
So Tim is with Ethnos, formerly New Tribes Mission, if you haven't got used to the Ethnos name yet. So if you're wondering, are they, you know, who are they affiliated with and so on? So if you can give to Ethnos, wonderful. I think you're one of the oldest foreign mission agencies coming out of Canada, the U.S.
Yeah, I don't know the stats on that. I know. You know, there's Wycliffe and then there's New Tribes Mission.
Yeah. So we got this wonderful mission agency in Ethnos. We got Galcom. We got Russell Stendel and his ministry out of Columbia working. Friends, we need you to partner with us too. Let's get thousands of radios, 10,000 radios into Tim's hands to distribute along the border for the PRO to carry back into their communities. And as you said, Tim, they're listening in their huts and their houses every day. It's accelerated the discipleship. You're reaching more people. And we are so honored to be a part of this working with you. We're praying for you regularly. Let's keep on dreaming and keep on planning on how we're going to reach this whole PRO nation with the gospel through radio.
Thank you so much, Tim. Amen to all of that.
Well, friend, we're at the end of our program today. You've been listening to Galcom's Mission Compass, your guide to the Great Commission. We really appreciate you joining us, and we would like to send you a special gift. Contact us to receive your free copy of our devotional, 30 Days of Faith. Visit galcom.org and click Mission Compass. Fill in your contact info, and we'll mail you your gift right away. If you enjoyed today's program, you can listen again at galcom.org or on your favorite streaming platform. Make sure to subscribe, follow, and share. There are many ways to partner with us. To find out more, visit our website at galcom.org. That's Galcom, spelled GALCOM.org. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and YouTube. I'm Ron Harris. Thanks for joining us today on Mission Compass, a radio ministry of Galcom International.